the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Thus far the text. The sixth grader who lives in our home has recently discovered science, thanks in no small part to Mr. Heber, a very good science teacher at Christ Community Lutheran School, CCLS, right down the road from here. And so I hope you'll indulge me as I share a few simple facts about the two hydrogen atoms and the one oxygen atom that, when combined, are otherwise known as water. Did you know? The same amount of water on Earth exists right now as on the day when the Earth was created, which means the water from your faucet just might contain molecules that Jesus held in his hand. Did you know? Nearly 97% of the world's water is salty or otherwise undrinkable, and another 2% of the world's water is locked in ice caps and glaciers, which means that of all the world's water, there is only 1% for all of the needs of every living mammal on Earth. Did you know? 75% of the human brain is water, and 75% of a living tree is water. Finally, did you know? 780 million human beings on Earth lack access to a clean water source, and unsafe water kills 200 children every hour. And in 1 year, the average American household uses 100,000 gallons of water. It is all too easy to forget that water is simultaneously the most ordinary and at the same time the most extraordinary thing on Earth. Life doesn't happen without it. And I mention it because it is also the only substance on Earth that, when dispensed, will fill all in all of any container into which it is poured. No small wonder that we are baptized with it. Which reminds me, you know what happened when Paul went to Ephesus, right? It's right there in Acts chapter 19. Paul goes to Ephesus and he runs into a few disciples and he says to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And they say, "No. We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit." And he says, "How were you baptized?" And they say, "With John's baptism." And he says, "Well, then have I got something for you?" And right there, they are baptized into Christ. And right there, they are filled all in all with the Spirit that Christ gives. The Apostle Paul must have been so struck by the event that he can't forget about it when he writes his letter to the Ephesians. He doesn't mention it by name, but it comes up in the lines actually right before today's reading. He writes, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." The only way you write a line like that is if you're thinking about baptism. "And upon hearing of the faith and the life that has now arisen from that baptism among these disciples," water has a way of doing that, you know, With water, life can't help but happen. Paul can't help but pray. In a way, I imagine that writing to the Ephesians was for Paul one long exercise in contemplative prayer. Until he gets to this point where our reading ends, the point that this water and word of baptism and the life that comes from it is never just about me and Jesus. Matter of fact, more than a few theologies have gone haywire by turning baptism into a me and Jesus thing. It's about who we are together, about how Christ, the fullness of God, Paul calls him, makes us to be together. Or to say it in the way of the immortal African proverb, I am because we are. And we are because we are in Christ. When I witness the baptism of another, my own baptism is made more full. When I see faith and love at work in the life of another, a life made possible by water, my own faith and love are made more full. And vice versa. I am because we are, and we are because we are in Christ. This is how the fullness of who I am as a baptized child of God is filled full by who we are together, all in all. Anything that diminishes you diminishes me. Anything that builds you up builds me up. This is how we begin to multiply each other's joys and to divide each other's sorrows. And that's why it can be so painful when that fullness is violated or broken by deceit or deception or betrayal. And that's why this baptism, this water that makes it all possible, is always a death, a daily death, before it can ever be life. We share in it all, together, even the pain. We share it in the fullness of the one whose life is a life filled more full than any life we could ever imagine or dream a life could be. The life that now ascended fills all in all. On a final note, I confess that I'm quite taken by the idea that the Apostle Paul didn't write this letter just to the Ephesians, but that likely, perhaps, it was circulated to the several churches of Asia Minor. I'm quite taken by the idea because, well, it's been circulating ever since, and it has finally reached us here and now. A letter to the Concordians of North America. The apostle has remembered you and me in his prayers too. I'm thinking especially of the graduating students among us and your families. The apostle has prayed his prayer for you. And I don't mean that in some figurative, metaphorical way. I believe the Apostle Paul has literally prayed his prayer for you. Listen again to the words he wrote to you. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Who believe? Who believe in the name of Jesus, the risen and now ascended Lord of us all, the fullness of him who fills all and is in all. Amen.